Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Well, not a whole lot. Just another great day here in Wisconsin. You know, kind of a boring, slow day, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. But like I said, just another day in Wisconsin. And got my, another great workout in. Got 4 days left now of Insanity Max 30 before I finish up the program. And I'm very excited to see what my results are because I've really been getting some good results lately overall. And I'm kind of excited to find them out and then share it as well. So, you know, after I get done with my current program on December 5th, I'm going to start my next challenge group, which is going to be a program called Country Heat, which is a cardio-inspired dance program inspired by country dance. So I'm looking for people that want to join and give it a try. It's a very fun program, and you're going to lose weight, get sweat, lose inches, dancing to some of your favorite country songs. So it's definitely going to be a fun time. So if you're interested, make sure you shoot me an email at coachevan66@gmail.com, and let's get started on your fitness journey. I am not quite done with mine. I broke the 100-pound mark, and now I'm working on losing my next 50. And I'd love for you to join me and get your journey started. CoachEvan66@gmail.com. Now, Troy, there's a lot to talk about tonight. NFL regular season starts in a few short weeks. There is that. The Olympics wrapped up yesterday. The NCAA preseason top 25 was released, and I do have a problem with the NCAA preseason top 25, which we'll get into in a little bit on the show, but it's a very fun show planned for today. And the NFL done screwed up in the end when it comes to handing out punishment for domestic violence. So Josh Brown, kicker of the Giants, is who we will discuss today. So before I go any further, going to throw it out to you and go back to you, I should say, and see how you're doing today.
Another day in the neighborhood. Yeah, literally. You know, for those that listen loyally know that I do live in Latrobe, which is the home of Mr. Rogers. So just another day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Actually, Evan, the weather is perfect tonight. This is my kind of summer evening as the temperature has dropped. It's not real humid. It's just a perfect night out with the windows open, a nice cool breeze. Almost a night where you have to wear a sweatshirt or a pullover jacket when you go out. It's perfect evening weather. Can't ask for anything more. But like you said, Mondays are always a jam-packed show here on the Red Light Sports Ramble. A lot going on, like you said, Evan. So we're going to turn it over, and we'll actually start with the top 25 because it did come out. College football right around the corner, along with NFL. So it'd be interesting to hear what your beef is here with the top 25.
Well, I'm going to get started first by sharing the top 25. First of all, the top 10, you had Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Florida State, LSU. This is from the Associated Press. LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Stanford, Tennessee, Notre Dame. Then you have Ole Miss, Michigan State, TCU, Washington and Houston wrap up the top 15. And you got UCLA, Iowa, Georgia, Louisville, USC wrap up the top 20. Oklahoma State, North Carolina, Baylor, Oregon, and Florida wrap up the top 25. And then some notable teams receiving votes, you got Miami, Texas A&M, you have Boise State, you have San Diego State, you have Wisconsin. Wisconsin. You have Navy, Northwestern. Then you have Western Kentucky. You have South Florida and Toledo, others receiving votes. And I deliberately mentioned that the Navy, the Northwestern, the Western Kentucky, the South Florida, Toledo, Boise State, deliberately mentioned those, San Diego State, because I have a beef with Top 25. First of all, why on August 22nd, August 21st, why on God's green earth do we need a preseason Top 25? College football hasn't even gotten started yet. They're just going through practices right now. No games have been played yet. I've always been a proponent of this, and I saw this on Twitter today, and I agree with it completely. The top 25 should not come out until after week 6. There's no business in having a top 25 before week 6. There's none whatsoever. Now, what you do when you have a top 25 come out this early, you favor all the big teams. You know, number 1, Big 10, number 2, ACC, number 3, Big 12, 4, ACC, 5, SEC. You have Ohio State, Big 10, 7, Big 10, 8, Pac-12, 9, SEC, 10, Independent, 11, SEC, 12, and then Houston at 15 is the first mid-major school to break it, to be listed. And you have Houston, mid-major, and then next mid-major you have is Boise State, San Diego State. Those are the next mid-majors you have. Now, to me, it's not fair to the mid-majors. It's not fair to the smaller schools from the big conference because it's very – you're already ranking, you know, these four teams, your top four teams at the end of the year go and play in the playoffs. There's probably going to be at least two of these teams in the top four right now, Troy, that will be in the playoffs. And you might have, let's say, an undefeated Houston team – or let's say an undefeated San Diego State team that because they started where they did in the rankings aren't going to be able to climb up enough in order to get into that top four. Having one right now when a game hasn't even been played yet. I think you should wait till week 6 before you start doing your rankings, but the NCAA will never do that, and it's sad but true. So, going to throw it back to you and get your thoughts on the senseless and the asinine preseason top 25.
Yeah, well, I am one of those people, Evan, that this to me is just a bunch of hoopla, crazy hoopla, and it's for the fans. And I don't even know why they have a ranking like you talked about this early. I am with you as far as waiting till the season starts. You and I have talked about this every year, Evan. That even early in the season, there's some of these schools. Now, there are some schools that play a tough schedule. But when you take a look at these major teams, they have patty-caked their schedule early because they want to get some wins. And they're going to destroy some of these teams like 72-0. And they do it on purpose. Now, I know it's kind of like their preseason before their conference. They put a lot of stock into their conference play. But in the back of their mind, Evan, too, they're also making sure that they don't have a blemish on their record before conference play. We all know college football with the rankings, a loss is going to kill you for your chance at the playoff. But there's a lot of stock that goes into the ranking in the poll when it comes to the BCS. It does come into play. But I don't know how, on paper, you can put and say, oh, this is the best team, even though we've not seen them play a game yet. I'm right there with you. I don't know how you do it. Okay, you want to make Alabama the number one team. Yeah, they're the preseason number one. Great. I'll give you a little stat here, too. They're probably a little mad. They've been the AP number one, preseason number one, 5 times prior to this year in 2016. And only one time did they actually win the national title, being the preseason number one. This means nothing. This means nothing to me. I'm not a big supporter of the AP Top 25 altogether. I've always thought there's a problem with it because I do believe that the Top 25 is biased. And what I mean by that is not in a bad way either. I just mean it's biased because of when the sports, the coaches and the sports writers and all those people do their Top 25s, whatever one it is, there's some teams you just don't see, and you give them votes because you've heard things, think things, and I don't think a lot of times they're accurate. You know, for example, a West Coast writer, or I'll say an East Coast writer, since the West Coast is 3 hours behind. East Coast writer, 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday, ready for bed, and well, it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast or West Coast, and they're playing a game. So you're not really, are you really watching these games? Are you really watching some of these teams that you're ranking 6, 7, 8? I don't believe so. And you get other coaches on the coaches. How much time do, I mean, and I know they have a very good understanding, but many times they're, again, going by name and going by so-called what they see or what they hear without actually watching games. They don't have time to sit down and watch games that have no relevance to their schedule. You know, a Big Ten coach, are they really watching a Pac-10 game? Maybe if they've got a little bit of time, but when do coaches have time? They've got enough other things to worry about. So back to the original point, a poll on August 21st or August 22nd, it's crazy talk. It's ridiculous. I don't think there's any value to it. I don't think there's any value to it early in the season because of what I said with the early season matchups for a lot of these teams playing the cupcakes. If you're going to do a ranking, you had mentioned week 6. I'm okay with week 6. If you want to wait till the conference schedule starts, do it then. But I don't think there's a need for a preseason poll to say, hey, this is the best team. I think it's for the fans. I really do. Oh, my college team is the best. Alabama's the best. Well, okay, on paper, you know, maybe they're one of the better teams. That's great. Let's play some games. And then you get to week 1 and week 2, and they play the University of Honolulu, and I'm being sarcastic here. I don't know who they play early in the season, Evan. But they play a team like that, and they whoop them 72-0. Does that really prove anything? No, it doesn't. It's not a conference game, and so I don't think those polls, at the minimum, should come out until every conference has started play and you get through the cupcake schedule. That's all I got.
Yeah, I would definitely be fine with that, to wait till after the first conference game to do the top 25. I think that's normally week 4, week 5, depending on the team. So moving on, going to go more positive here. So the Olympics just ended. Quite surprised. It went really well. No extreme major problems, as a lot of people, myself and you included, would thought there were going to be. And a lot of very positive moments at the Olympics. Even with the whole weird Brian Lucci or whatever issue going on, a lot of good positive stuff at the Olympics. Now, you had Usain Bolt winning 3 more gold medals this year in the 100, the 200, and the 4x100 meter relay, which is very amazing to see. Usain Bolt is just a phenomenal athlete. Michael Phelps winning a number of a lot more gold medals. So you had that as well. You had Katie Ledecky winning a number of gold. Simone and Allie Rossman and the rest of the U.S. gymnastics team was a great sight to watch. And then you got Brazil, their soccer team, winning the gold medal. So a lot of great moments happening in the Olympics. And you had the U.S. men basketball team win another gold. And Carmelo Anthony is the first player to win 3, count them, 3 gold medals for the U.S. and basketball team. So a lot of positive moments. and I especially like Simona and Allie. I think they're more excited for one another, Simone for Allie winning the silver and Allie for Simone winning the gold, than they were of actually winning their own medals. I think that was very cool to see. They're more excited for one another. So looking back at the Olympics, the 2016 Summer Games have officially come to a close with the ceremony. Now, in 2 years, you have the Winter Games in South Korea and 4 years of Summer Games in Tokyo. What stood out to you during the Olympics this year in a positive manner? I want to try to keep this positive. What stood out to you in a positive manner the Olympics this year?
Yeah, I'm glad you want to keep it on the positive note because, you know, when the Summer Olympics end, it should be talking about, you know, those that surprised us, those things that made us proud. The Olympics, as they so-called say, is a time for countries to unite, stand behind their athletes. And there were a lot of negative stories that were out there. And you turn the news on today, and it's only negative things coming out of the Olympics when you should be talking about all of the positives. The one thing that stood out to me, Evan, definitely U.S. men's basketball with their way they dominated at the final, because prior to that, they had, in the minds of many, struggled with close games. I mean, they by far have the most talent of any team in the world. They have the best basketball players. And there was a couple games where I don't even say they were scared, but they were pushed to the limit. And then they just came out for the gold medal. It's kind of like they turned the light switch on and said, well, here you go, Serbia. Watch how powerful we are. And it was nice to see the positive there. Carmelo Anthony, third gold medal. I know that he had said his time is done now after he made that commitment. He's been a member of this U.S. basketball team. And if you remember back, Evan, before the three in a row, they had faltered a little bit and came away with a bronze. And that was the Olympics where it was like, ooh, what's going on with U.S. basketball? And since then, they've done nothing but dominate with three gold medals. So to me, that was a very positive. And I'll just do this. I'm not going to go to one specific moment for this comment. Just proud of, you know, every one of those athletes as I watched the TV and watch some of these players where they had their moment to shine. It was just always a great thing to see the people on the podium. And not just the USA gold medal winners, Evan. I had mentioned this earlier. You know, some of these countries send one or two representatives. Maybe they don't get their medal. But for those stories where they get their medal, it was amazing to see the emotion, the joy, the passion. On the other side, U.S. swimming, I thought, dominated. It was, you know, from top to bottom, just a very good effort by the USA swimmers. Throw the gymnastics team in there, maybe a little bit of falter in the individual, but that USA team did not let us down in the all-around competition. That was fun to watch. I always mention that in the Summer Olympics, keep a close eye on the gymnastics. And that all-around team competition, I think, was wonderful to see that team just dominate. I know that the rest of the world's trying to catch up. But a lot of times when you are considered the favorite, Evan, and you have everybody shooting and you have the bullseye on your back, the nerves can get to you. You can falter. And the U.S. women's gymnastics team didn't falter. They went out and they performed and dominated and did what they had to do. But overall, Evan, I was happy to watch the Olympics. Like I said, I didn't sit down and watch all of it, but I caught much of it. It was nice to have it at a time where you were able to enjoy it. For us, for me, coming home at night from work and being able to turn on the TV and catch the Olympics was joyful. It was relaxing. So that was a very positive moment there. But overall, again, I'm going to end my comments saying, you know, the Olympics are a time to celebrate the efforts of these people. And for many, you know, it's their, you know, maybe their first Olympics. They put 4 years of time in, and we should be rewarding that time and effort. And honestly, any Olympian, with the time that they've put in to go through their trials or whatever it took to get to the games, they should all get a big round of applause. It is no easy feat to say, I'm an Olympian. So my hat's off to everybody that qualified for the Olympics. I know the Americans did very well. And overall, Evan, outside of some of the negative stories that have come out, I thought it was a very, very good Olympics, considering the things that could have happened at the Olympics. You know, the thought of terrorism, and, you know, the virus that was down there and the water issues. A lot of concerns before the start of the game. And, yeah, there, you know, some of that with the water polo and the pool turning green. But they overcame it. And at the end of the day, with all of these concerns that were heading into the Olympics, I thought overall the execution and the 2016 games were a success.
Yeah, it definitely was. And now, last thing before we the NFL done screwed up again when it comes to domestic violence. Josh Brown, kicker for the New York Giants, got suspended for one game due to being arrested for assault in the fourth degree domestic violence in the state of Washington dating back to May 22nd, 2015. No charges were filed against Brown, as the ex-wife would not cooperate with police, and neither would Brown. And the NFL, like I said, this happened in May 22nd, 2015. The league and the Giants were made aware when it happened. And a couple issues with this. First, the Giants the NFL waits till now to suspend them. The Giants didn't have to sign him. He was a free agent after the 2015 season. He was a free agent. They could have let him walk. They didn't have to sign him, and they knew about and now the GM and the owner make the coach look really, really bad. You know, the coach came out, Ben McAdoo, stating that he has no place on his team for, people involved with domestic violence, and then poof, your GM and your owner sign Josh Brown. And Josh Brown has a pretty extensive history with involving his ex-wife. So there's over 20 physically violent incidents, according to his ex-wife told police of over 20 physically violent incidents. The NFL's argument on why they only suspended him for a game instead of the six that stemmed from the Ray Rice issue from a couple of years ago is a little clause in it that allows them to, depending on the circumstances and the information that the NFL has, they can do less or more. They did one because they said the police department would not share information with the NFL. They declined to share with the NFL, and the wife would not speak to the NFL. Now, to me, this is another black eye to the NFL. This is another black eye. You give them one game suspension. To me, this just shows you the inconsistency with punishment from the NFL. And this makes me nervous for people like Harrison and Matthews and Peppers, who are going to be talking to the NFL about their role in this Al Jazeera issue, this Al Jazeera report. It makes me even more nervous for those guys because the NFL, they basically have no, blueprint on this is how we handle these problems. They pretty much seem like they do as they please when they feel like it. And in this case, a suspension should have been more than just one game, and they give them one game. And they gave, Ray Rice still hasn't stepped foot in an NFL team. And this happened, I think, 2-3 years ago with Ray Rice. And he's been a model citizen ever since. He's been speaking out against domestic violence, and, you know, he's been a good advocate for it since, but yet he won't get re-signed by an NFL team. So, to me, Troy, it's just the NFL screwing up again. What are your thoughts on this whole Josh Brown kicker of the Giants thing?
Oh, well, Evan, you know, and our loyal listeners know that while I was getting my master's degree, I was very much into, and I still am, but I had done a lot of research. I did a lot of feature articles on domestic violence, and this is ridiculous. Ray Rice had a video, and he is not playing in the NFL, and Josh Brown, with a history of domestic violence, gets a one-game suspension, and they say they can't collaborate. They can't collaborate. But, Evan, there's 911, and they're saying that the police won't talk to him and his wife won't talk to him. This is ridiculous. Ray Rice is not playing. A guy that actually, in my mind, made a mistake, and I'm not condoning what he did. He knows what he did, and he's trying to make good to try and play in the NFL again. There's a comment that really, really gets to me, Evan. From Josh Brown. And I got to find it in this article on ESPN. I was reading it before, and excuse me for this. This is what really irks me. This is what really irks me. The background of Josh Brown and him to have the gall to say this. While I'm not okay with the decision, I have to respect it. So I look forward to a 15-game season and moving forward with my teammates. That is a bunch of bullcrap. Domestic abuser, Evan, clearly. And he says he's not okay with the decision. It's crazy. I don't understand it. You're going to suspend somebody, Ray Rice, because of the video, and now the NFL is saying they can't collaborate or put all the pieces together. And there is just so much evidence there, Evan, that anybody with common sense knows what happened. 20 times. There's 911 calls. Those are somewhere public record. And you're the mighty NFL. You can't get the evidence that there's these domestic dispute to calls. And you're saying the law enforcement does not want to cooperate. There's got to be reports. There's got to be all kinds of things out there. I think this is ridiculous. One game. I think, like, you put it perfectly, a black eye. This is it. Right here. You're going to let this guy serve one game suspension. I don't understand it. I really don't. And when it comes to domestic abuse, and you're supposed to be the mighty NFL condoning the awareness of it, to put a stop to it, having your players on commercials, this is ridiculous. Just flat out ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say, because I'll keep going and I'll get all worked up.
Yeah, and with that, looking at the time, we do have to wrap it up and let our awesome, awesome listeners go. So I'm going to throw it back to you to let our listeners go.
Yeah, and before we go, Evan, I'm going to let you fill our listeners in tomorrow night. We got a great guest tomorrow night that you had set up for us. So, before we go,
I'm going to get final confirmation tomorrow. So,
well, then we'll keep the listeners in suspense. We may have a wonderful guest tomorrow night. But hope you enjoy the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalis, and I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a great night, Evan. And I'll get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Talk to you soon.